Thousands of nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and hospitals are in buildings owned by entities called real estate investment trusts. They're not allowed under tax laws to actively run healthcare facilities, but have found ways to play a surprisingly big role anyway. Jordan Rao is an investigative reporter with KFF Health News and joins us with more. Hi, Jordan.
Hi.
Okay, so what are these real estate investment trusts and what's their relationship to nursing homes and assisted living communities?
So everyone calls them REITs for the acronym, and they are companies that own commercial real estate, and shareholders can buy a share. Like I can't afford a shopping mall, say, but I can buy a share of one of these companies. They're often publicly traded, and then I get dividends from the rent that they make from that shopping mall or whatever. And then in recent decades, they've started specializing, some of them, in healthcare facilities, hospitals and such. And that's accelerated in the last decade or so because private equity companies have been buying hospitals, nursing homes, senior living, and then selling the properties to the REIT. So now the REIT owns it and the private equity company keeps the profits.
And what did you find when you started to look into these trusts?
The biggest thing that we found was a lot of the REITs are making large, large sums from rent at the same time that the healthcare properties that are inside their buildings are losing money or don't have enough staff. We also found, and I was sort of surprised about this, I'd always assumed that these were passive landlords or even absentee landlords, right? But it turns out that they're very involved in everything except for the specific clinical care. They pick the management team that is in charge. Some of them set very stringent rules that the operators must follow, like having 80% of beds filled. And it's all about making sure that the rent can always be paid and there's always a lot of money there. And that becomes a priority.
So even though they're just the landlord, it sounds like they're more than just the landlord. They've got the hands in the pie a bit, too.
It's a tight line that they're walking. I mean, they're very emphatic that they do not make clinical decisions. They don't make day-to-day staffing. But they do review the budgets. And they in some ways, they are, you know, the boss at the top of the ladder.
Is there a case that stood out to you?
There was a huge case that just resolved in California with a record judgment. And in that case, it was a REIT that owned an assisted living facility. And this was right around about the pandemic time. It was at the edge of losing its license because of so many health violations. And there was a woman, Mildred Hernandez, she had just celebrated her 100th birthday. And she wandered out, she had dementia, and wandered out in the middle of the night. And they found her underneath a bush, brought her to the hospital, and she ended up dying of hypothermia. The REIT at trial claimed that, you know, it was the management company, and the jury did find the management company, which was already settled, somewhat at fault, but they also found the REIT mostly at fault and issued $92 million in punitive judgments against it.
And what did the company say when you contacted them?
They didn't respond to our contacts, but in the court papers, they said that it was the management company's responsibility. And they are appealing the case and challenging the trial.
Okay, so this isn't allowed because of the way the tax law is set up. But is this necessarily bad? Like, what's at stake here for these REITs running these centers?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with a REIT making a profit. In fact, that's the way that they operate, and that's normal for any landlord, right? The issue here is, first of all, that some of these REITs are making very, very large profit margins. I mean, 30, 40, 50%. And then second of all, that the places that are the facilities are really under a lot of financial pressure. I mean, most nursing homes rely on Medicaid, and the president and Congress are cutting that, and that's going to trickle down. Assisted living places and memory care places are so expensive, you know, $5,000, $10,000 a month that most people can't afford it. So it's important to see where all this money is going and whether it's going in the right proportion to direct patient care.
So for people who may be having to enter some of these facilities or go to long-term care, what do they need to know about if real estate trusts are involved?
So generally, it's advised that if you're going into a place, you can look on Medicare's Care Compare website. They have easy-to-understand star ratings for staffing, inspection reports, and the like. When you go in, you should just keep all of your senses on you, see how it smells, see what it looks like. Staffing is the most important thing, so try and talk to people and their families and see what they think of how well the staff responds and if they're enough.
Jordan Rao, an investigative reporter with our partner KFF Health News. Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you.